With Amex Platinum, you can enjoy access to dedicated card member entrances at select events, because skipping the line makes you the star of game day. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex. Card member entrance access not limited to Amex Platinum card.
Aaron Rodgers played more than four snaps for the New York Jets, but the Jets got manhandled by the San Francisco 49ers. We will be discussing that on tonight's show. Also, the future of Deshaun Watson in Cleveland. Is there a way that the Browns could get out of that guaranteed contract? And more importantly than any of that, are boneless wings ever acceptable to order at a restaurant? We will get into all of that tonight on Amber and Ian. You can be a part of Amber and Ian Nation on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. Call us 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. Ian, it ain't college football season without the delicious taste of an ice-cold Dr. Pepper. College football, it is a pepper thing, and it is, in fact, college football season. We got some big upsets there in week two. We'll get into college football as well. You can always find him at Ian Fitz ESPN. You can find me as well at Amber W Sports. But let's stick with the NFL, because a week one it was. That game last night wrapped up week one for us. What are your winners and losers, your best and worst from week one, Ian?
Well, first of all, sticking with boneless wings, if you are an adult male and you order boneless wings, you really need to check yourself in the mirror in your manhood, because that's just unacceptable. That's number one observation from a full week one in the National Football League. As you mentioned, we'll touch on that more in just a bit. But you know, look, when it comes to like which teams, let's start positive, had the best week ones. One was last night in San Francisco. We'll really dive into that coming up in about 10 minutes, folks. But I thought I'm going to go off the board here and give a little tip of the cap to a team that has not gotten a lot of love, and that is the New England Patriots. The Pats, I mean, you had some people saying, well, could they only win a game or two games? And to go into Cincy against Joe Burrow and the boys, and I know Ja'Marr Chase was sick and T. Higgins is banged up, but to be able to come away with a W, I'm going way off the board in a deep dive. And Gerard Mayo, first game as a head coach in the NFL, and you go on the road and get a W, I'm going to give it an attaboy and a tip of the cap to the New England Patriots.
Yeah, I thought that was huge. And it was the thing that nobody expected. A lot of people had taken the Patriots and survivor pools and whatnot, the Bengals rather, and survivor pools and whatnot, screws you for the entire season. You couldn't have necessarily seen that coming. Now, at the same time, Cincinnati is notorious for slow starts, so Bengals fans really should be used to this. But if you're a Patriots fan, I think you feel really good about that win. And like you said, it's always good when you're entering an entire new coaching era, and that is an entirely new era there in New England, that you get the dub right out of the gate. They've got to feel good about that. And I think we all remembered, Ian, oh, by the way, this New England defense, pretty good, actually.
Yeah, especially toward the back end of last season. They were one of the top-rated defenses in the NFL. Sounds like my wife and girls are home, by the way, so say hello to
your
the dogs.
Your dogs are letting us know.
They're agreeing with you. The Patriots, you know, got hey, the dog was in them. Boy, that was cheesy. Another one for me, the Dallas Cowboys. You know, all the talk surrounding money and everything else, they put it all behind them and found a way to go on the road and not just be impressive, Amber, but when you go and just absolutely chicken kick another NFL team, I don't care if it's week one or week 15, the way they did, just physically beating up the Cleveland Browns and that defense. That was the biggest surprise to me. Not Deshaun Watson sneaking it up. Not Dak and CD getting right back into a groove that we saw during the regular season. Emphasis on regular season with the Dallas Cowboys. To go on the road and do that to that defense, and attaboy to the Dallas Cowboys for me.
Yeah, because we all expected that. I mean, it was the best defense in the NFL last season. We all expected big things once again from that defense, even if we didn't know what we were going to get from Deshaun Watson and from that offense. And they left a lot to be desired. But frankly, also defensively for the Cowboys, they looked even significantly better. Mike is all out there lunching all over the field, this man. I mean, completely unstoppable. Ooh. I never understood why people thought the Cowboys were going to take this massive step back. I know some of that hinged on the running game. They looked just fine out there. Yes, it's week one. They are also, frankly, on my best list as well, though.
And then big attaboy to San Francisco. And we will get more in depth into this ball game. But damn, Amber. I mean, no Christian McCaffrey, one of your, if not your second most valuable player on offense, and you still towed it for around 180 yards, and Jordan Mason – goes for $147 against that defensive front, which another attaboy to the San Francisco offensive line. They just absolutely mauled what is supposed to be and may end up being, you know, a top five defense in the NFL. But they didn't show up last night. They did not travel out to San Fran. That was just a dominant physical lineup and whipped the ever-loving snot out of the man across from you ballgame.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we'll get more into that, like you said, a little bit later in the show here. But certainly a dominant performance there by the team that a lot of people think is going to be the best team in that entire conference this season. I got a couple positive ones for you as well. I would put the Bills on that list because for whatever reason, like the Cowboys, they were one of those teams everybody thought was going to take this big step back. I was not one of those people. I mean, I would love for them to take a step back as a Dolphins fan, but I didn't have much hope they would. And I thought that it was a really good outing by the Bills. Yes, they were playing the Cardinals, but also Josh Allen reminded us that, oh, by the way, he's still Josh Allen, and it appears that he's going to be ready to go even with what was a hand injury in that game. So I thought the Bills had a really good showing just to remind us, hey, right now they're still the darlings of the AFC East. And then I also have on my best list the Chiefs and the Ravens, and I know that the Ravens end up losing that matchup, but I thought that game, that matchup, Ian, the football looks so much better than the football that I saw, frankly, over the weekend. I mean, it's remarkable how not sloppy a lot of that game, frankly, was from those two teams who really feel like they're just at another level than most of these teams in the NFL. Maybe that shouldn't be surprising, but it was just a little bit surprising when you consider the weather leading up to that game and a standalone there to kick off the NFL season and then the level of performance there from both of those high-flying offenses. So I thought that game in particular could be on the best list. What about your worst?
By the way, just to piggyback on your Bills.
Not my Bills. Let's not get confused. No,
your Bills observation. Your Bills observation, I should say.
Be very clear about that.
They ran the ever-loving snot out of the football. I mean, 33 times for only $130. That's less than 4 yards a tote, but it didn't matter. They stuck with it. And they're going to continue to do that with Joe Brady calling plays. So, great observation on the Bills getting an attaboy as well. Some of my worst, again, we'll touch on the Jets coming up in a moment. The Cleveland defense, just sticking with the Cowboys with a hell of a ball game. Look, we all know Deshaun Watson stunk, and it may be sooner than later that Kevin O'Connell and the Browns brass may have to start thinking about making a switch to Jameis Winston. But everything I just said about the Jets defense, you can go right there and put it in with the Cleveland Browns defense. It was a forget failure to compete. It was a failure to show up. I mean, those guys get off the bus and actually even attend this game because it didn't look like that Cleveland defense we saw all last season.
Yeah, again, the best defense in the NFL last season. That's supposed to be the saving grace. It's why Stefanski wins Coach of the Year. It's why they went through four or five quarterbacks or whatever it was last season.
I think it's KOC.
Right?
Yeah, sorry. Yes, Stefanski.
Yeah, it's why they were trying to survive. They couldn't end up doing it in the postseason, but trying to survive, you know, the multiple interception games there from Flacco, who got up off his couch to go play for them. It was all hinged on the success of that defense. And last season, it worked out for them. They found their way into a postseason because of that defense. This season, it looks like even the defense is having a hard time showing up in Cleveland.
And my number one, just what in the hell is going on, is the New York Football Giants. We all know they're supposed to not be very good, and for in large parts supposed to stink. But when it's your 100th anniversary and you're rolling back legends, Bill Parcells, you know, I mean, Phil Sims, LT, and those god-awful
and
unis.
You're in hockey. Yeah, you're in hockey sweaters.
I mean, I didn't know they look like the Canadiens out there. And you get boat raced 28-6 by Sam Darnold and the Vikings. That is my number one, even though it is week one. What in the hell are you doing reaction?
Well, I will also add to that list, though, the Giants fans, and I wouldn't make a big deal out of it, but the Giants fans heckling Daniel Jones outside the stadium after, that seems a little unnecessary. I mean, what are you doing? Like that's going to motivate the man, asking him to give you money and you know, mother bleeping him outside the stadium. Like, all right. And I don't really understand. I never understand the goal of that or what that is actually going to accomplish. So I would also put those Giants fans, frankly, on the worst list. But yes, it is some ugly football there in New York. I would add the Bengals to the list in terms of worse. Now, they notoriously start slow, Ian. They might end up being fine. But where the expectations were, and yes, good win for the Pats. You had them on your best list. I think we can give a nod to the Bengals, though, for another yep. disappointing start to the season. And I would have the Panthers as well on this list. That goes without saying. But just the Panthers, it looks like all hope is lost there for Carolina already. It's week one. And I just, it's hard to imagine Bryce Young is going to pan out in the NFL.
I'm not going to give up on Bryce Young yet just because of what he had to endure last year. And I have no idea behind the scenes what he's having to endure so far this year. But that was it was almost expected for me as far as the offense of or lack of offense for Carolina. What shocked me was the Saints hanging a 47 spot on any defense. Clint right. Kubiak, new offensive sure. coordinator. That shocked me, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, anytime you can do that in the NFL, that absolutely shocked me as well. 47-10, the New Orleans Saints ended up winning that game. Anytime you can put a 47 burger on anybody in the NFL, that's crazy.
Yep.
It is some crazy stuff. So there you have it. Those are some of our best and our worst observations here from week one of an NFL season that is just getting going. But that doesn't ever stop us from judging things far too soon. Amber and Ian is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. Coming up next, we've mentioned it. The Jets, they got pushed around in San Francisco last night. Let's get into Monday Night Football. That's next right here on ESPN Radio.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
Finding the right employee for your company is tough. One wrong hire can be a major setback. You're not alone if you face this. A recent survey by Robert Half shows nearly half of hiring managers readily admit to making a bad hire. Luckily, there's a solution. With Robert Half's specialized recruiter's experience combined with our award-winning AI, you can have the right skilled professional in place quickly. We understand what it takes to build winning teams because at Robert Half, we know talent. Discover how we can help at roberthalf.com/talent.
Final score here. Monday Night Football in the opener. The San Francisco 49ers take down the Jets 32-19.
You know, they're an elite football team, and credit to San Francisco. They did a great job running the ball. They were very efficient in the pass game. They executed a heck of a lot better than we did, and we got to be better.
There were moments, for sure, that felt really good. Yeah, I think a lot of stuff's correctable, which is great for coaches, but no time for that. We're going to move on to Tennessee quickly, and this is a tough opener for us, but no excuses. We got to play better. I got to play better.
No excuses there. You heard it from Aaron Rodgers. He was 13 of 21, 167 yards, a touchdown, an interception last night. Are those numbers better than Zach Wilson, Ian? Did they upgrade? I'm not sure yet. Is it a significant? Oof. Now, there were a couple throws that I'm pretty convinced Zach Wilson could not have made for the Jets. So there's that, right? Statistically speaking, though, I'm not sure it's a massive improvement over the last guy.
You can't get your butt handed to you in a much more grander fashion than that last night. I mean, 32-19, that is not indicative of that game at all. It was never, from the opening kick, that close. Ever.
Well, no, and then the Jets got a cupcake touchdown with their backups in at the end.
Yeah, with about 25 seconds to go, right? I mean, you know, Taylor to, I think it was Alan Lazard, to make it look somewhat respectable. So if you happen to miss the game, you're going, oh, well, 32-19. I mean, oh, hey, that wasn't that bad. No, it was that bad. I mean, it felt more like 32-9 than 32-19.
I also found out on that play, by the way, on that touchdown from Tyrod Taylor, that he's in his mid-30s. Like, he has been in the NFL for like a decade and a half, this Tyrod Taylor. I'm like, what? When did that happen? I mean, it's a pretty remarkable career, actually, from a guy who's, yes, bounced around the league and been a journeyman. But if you really think about it, that's some serious sustainability in the NFL.
He's carved out a very nice, you know, career in the NFL. Not nearly as nice as Chase Daniels, who had, by far, bar none, the greatest career of any backup in the history of the NFL.
Yep.
And if anybody, if you don't know what we are talking about, just go Google Chase Daniel, you know, career earnings, and how much money he made per snap as to live gameplay outside of the preseason. I think it's north of $200,000 per snap.
It's the best job in the NFL
ever.
If you do it right, I think.
Hall of Fame clipboarder.
Everybody always wants you, right? Because you either are coming in because the number one is injured or because he sucks. So you're always wanted, right? And then none of the pressure's on you. And also the injuries are far more minimal. And you can make a hell of a long career and make some really good money doing it.
Yeah, when you're playing behind Drew Brees for three quarters of your career, you know you're not getting a lot of PT. But you're still getting paid like an NFL quarterback. So that ain't life grand if you're Chase Daniel, as Widespread Panic once said. Now to this game, from the opening kick, San Fran came out hell-bent. And Kyle Shanahan pantsed Robert Saleh and that entire Jets coaching staff. Every San Fran assistant was better than anybody on the Jets. And Saleh used to coach with Kyle Shanahan for years. And you would have thought that Saleh would have been able to make a few adjustments. It was the other way. Kyle Shanahan pantsed and spanked Robert Saleh and that entire staff on national television. It was unbelievable. And when we saw the news CMC was out, I was recovering from a little stomach bug, and I'm going, oh, well, this game just got a little bit closer. And I checked the number on ESPN Bet. You know how much it moved?
How much?
Half a point. That was it. From 4 to 3.5. You could have bought it right back up to you know, where you had it beforehand. Mm-hmm. So, and that's Vegas telling you, oh, really? Huh. As great as CMC is, I think we think the Niners are going to be just fine. We're really not going to move that number about much more. And they weren't. Here comes Jordan Mason for $147, averaging over 5 yards a tote. Brock Purdy was remarkably efficient yet again. And Fred Warner, I never want to meet that man, you know, when he's angry, because he is one of the best leaders and best linebackers in the entire league. And in time of possession, that's one thing I always look at to see if it was really as bad as I thought it was. San Fran possessed the ball for over 38 minutes in this game to the Jets 21. That was a good old-fashioned chicken kick and woodshed beating that San Fran put down on the Jets last night.
Yeah, and you mentioned it. The 49ers, no CMC, no problem. Jordan Mason, the 49ers running back. He showed up, showed out. It was his time to shine, next man up for the undrafted guy. But here's the thing that I thought Lisa Salters after the game, and she didn't mean anything by it, because I think she thought that his answer would be, oh, I found out I'm starting, you know, a few hours ago. But she asked him, when did you find out you were starting? And the second the question came out of her mouth, I thought, oh, no, you know, no. Has he gotten the media training yet? Don't ask him that. You're just setting him up for disaster. And that's exactly what ends up happening, because he answers the question honestly. This makes me cringe, because this is why some of these guys hate talking to us, because he answers it honestly, and now it's a bleep storm, because he says he finds out on Friday night, probably, you know, a couple days ago. Well, now, especially in the world of betting, this is all a bleep storm. Christian McCaffrey wasn't even on the injury report at the time, even though
is questionable, right?
Yeah, even though we were hearing from Shefty and others that he was still dealing with the calf issue and dealing with an Achilles issue that he's been dealing with since training camp. So we were hearing it. There were rumblings. But for Jordan Mason to say that, and then what does that mean? And so now it's a whole bleep storm. So now the poor 49ers running back, who had the night of his entire life, the night of his career, it kind of gets ruined by him answering this question. And in his presser after the game, he says this is why he hates talking to the media. Take a listen.
When did you find out that you'd be in the starting lineup?
That question right there is why I'm at. That's why I don't like really talking to media, because you say one thing wrong, and then, you know, I don't know. Just skip that question.
Okay. Now, there's a lot to unpack here in a short amount of time. One, I would have asked the same question that Lisa asked. 100%, because I'm thinking he's going to tell me Saturday night, you know what I mean, or something along those lines. It's a feel-good story.
Really? But you're running the risk of him not knowing that
I never would have dreamed that it was going to be Friday.
So, really?
But he gave an honest answer, to your point.
The second it came out of her mouth.
But then, you know, the PR is an easy fix. You've already gotten news of it by the time you're in the locker room. PR comes up to you and says, look, hey, let's rephrase that. When you take the podium, just go, hey, Coach Shanahan told me Be ready on Friday. You might get the start. Easy fix, done. Obviously, either it wasn't communicated or it didn't click when the question was asked. Because that's what Shanahan told him.
Right.
Where Shanahan, when he was posed a question, said, I told him on Friday, be ready.
Right.
You might be starting.
He said, I never told him he was starting.
Right. So that to me was an easy fix. But no matter what, he still had the game of his life. And let's be honest. No one was talking to Jordan Mason for the last couple of years. Because you didn't have the opportunity to really not want to talk to the media because you really weren't shining. You haven't shined since Georgia Tech when you had a quarter of your final season worth of rushing yards in one night in the NFL as you did in your entire last year for the Ramblin' Wreck. But bottom line is he played his tail off, and the fix to that honest answer post-game was an easy one that obviously that wasn't executed nearly as well as what they did on the field.
Yeah, it's just not all of these guys know how to navigate these things. It just that was one of those things that I found a bit sad, frankly, for the running back that really should just be celebrating the best night of his life, of his entire professional career. Again, 28 carries, 147 yards, and a touchdown there from Jordan Mason. A great showing from the San Francisco 49ers. A very poor showing for the New York Jets. And maybe, as Ian mentioned before, even more surprisingly for that New York Jets defense, because that we expected to be clicking and not rusty, because we saw them last season, and boy, did they look rusty. One thing when Aaron Rodgers looks rusty, another thing when that defense looks rusty. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, Dan Graziano is going to join us to break down all things NFL. That's next right here on ESPN Radio.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Untuckit or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business making selling, and for shoppers, buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling, on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Untuckit uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/network.
Bombas makes the most comfortable socks, underwear, and T-shirts.
Warning, Bombas are so absurdly comfortable you may throw out all your other clothes.
Sorry, do we legally have to say that?
No, this is just how I talk, and I really love my Bombas.
They do feel that good, and they do good, too. One item purchased equals one item donated.
To feel good and do good, go to bombas.com/ESPN pod and use code ESPNPOD for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ESPNPOD and use code ESPNPOD at checkout.
One of the NFL season in the books. Lots to unpack as we head into week two. Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL insider, kind enough to join us here on Amber and Ian. And Graz, go ahead and take your Dak victory lap, because you were the one who told us last week when you were on air with us, you alluded to it pretty heavily. We noticed that you thought that a deal was still going to get done. And how right were you?
Well, but I was right by about an hour and a half, I think. It happened on Sunday morning, down to the wire. But, yeah, when it came right down to it, you know, the Cowboys didn't want to take the risk of going into the season and without a deal and potentially losing him. And I think on some level, Dak, you know, as much leverage as he had, also kind of sized it up and said, you know what, like, there is not, it's not like there's no risk, right, to him. So given that they got the $60 million a year, given that they got the $231 million in guarantees, given that he wants to be there, it really was no reason for it not to get done there at the end. So it did sound late last week, that there was some degree of optimism that I hadn't previously detected, and that's what I was alluding to. And yes, it ended up working out, and sounds like everybody's happy.
You were 100% correct. I was incorrect because I didn't think Jerry was going to pay him that much money. Graz, what was the biggest surprise in this Dak contract to you?
The biggest surprise? Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think maybe the length of it. Like I thought maybe it might be a shorter term deal, but you know, I think it hit a sweet spot. The Cowboys probably would have wanted a little bit longer, but for Dak, it's good because, and for the Cowboys, it's fine because they have the right, the contract includes the right for them to just restructure and push out void years and work around the cap when they do Micah Parsons and whatever other big deals they have coming down the pike. So I think it's, I don't know, I guess the surprising thing remains that it wasn't done months ago. I think that's really the surprise because, I mean, if you were going to give him $60 million a year anyway, then what was the holdup? And that's just how they you know, that's how they do it. That's the Cowboy way.
That is the Cowboy way, and it gets us doing nothing but talking about the Cowboys and fairness to
maybe
Jerry.
That's why.
Does this new deal have a no-trade clause in it? I haven't heard.
Sure.
I haven't heard the elements of it.
Got a no-trade clause. It's got a no-franchise and no-transition tag clause.
Wow.
It's got all the bells and whistles.
Deja vu.
He did it again. Goodness.
It's got an $80 million signing bonus, which is a record. It's got, guaranteed, like, I think it's $129 million guaranteed at signing, but, like, the guarantees, like, his 2027 salary guarantees in March of 2026. So it makes it very difficult for that money not to be realized unless the team just wants to eat a ludicrous amount of money and cut him early. So it's a great contract for him. It's, you know, the last deal he did with them kind of set this up. Right? Like, because of the fact that it was a shorter term deal, because of the fact that he had the no trade, no franchise tag clause in it. The funny thing is, like, they've already franchised him twice. So practically they can't really franchise him a third time. No one's ever done it. It's prohibitively expensive. But I think Dak and his agent Todd France just kind of felt like, look, let's keep the standard where it is. The last deal had a no franchise clause and a no trade clause, so this one should too, and that's just how we do deals now. So they got everything they wanted.
All right, Dan, I'm going to let you decide which one of these you want to answer. Micah Parsons or biggest overreaction to week one? Your call, you go whichever way you want. Are you already sick of talking about the Cowboys, or do you want to get into overreaction to week one, the biggest one?
Well, what's the question on Micah? Before I answer it,
are we going to do the same song and dance?
That's it.
Probably.
Yep.
Because, look, I mean, like you talk about, Micah's 3 years in. They already picked up the fifth-year option on him for 2025. They haven't had any talks with him, like anything of substance this offseason. They've been public about it, so has he. Micah seems to be in a pretty good frame of mind based on how he performed Sunday, which was, you know, terrifying if you're an opposing offense that's scheduled to play the Cowboys this year. So he's probably thinking, yeah, I'll just go out there and win Defensive Player of the Year, and then I'll get, you know, the price will go up. And if they want to wait another year on top of that, the price will go up. And the Cowboys really had Micah on the back burner because they were working on Dak and they're working on CeeDee Lamb, which were more pressing because just how close they were to the end of their contract. So the answer to your question is probably, because that's how it works with the Cowboys, and it makes sense for Micah to wait as well.
Now, you did drop your biggest overreactions from week one on Sunday on ESPN Plus. You can find it on the .com. Give us one of those. What was your biggest overreaction from week one?
I don't know. The game I was at was Steelers Falcons. And so one of the ones we laid out there was like Justin Fields will start the rest of the year for the Steelers. And I still think it's an overreaction because I think when Russell Wilson is healthy, the Steelers still plan to go back to him. I think they're looking at Justin Fields as somebody they're working on, trying to iron out some issues with his game. And maybe he's their guy for the long term, but that Russell gives them the better opportunity to win now. Now, Russell's not healthy and couldn't play last week, and it doesn't sound like he's going to play this week in Denver, which would have been awesome. I think, you know, Justin Fields, if something gets unlocked and all of a sudden he takes off, then maybe you rethink it down the road. But I do think the Steelers plan to go back to Russell Wilson at some point this year once his leg allows them to do that. Fields was solid on Sunday, but you know, they scored 6 field goals and no touchdowns. Like, the offense, they're going to need it to work better than that in order to make, like, a serious quarterback change from what their original plan was.
ESPN NFL insider Dan Graziano joining us here on Amber and Ian on ESPN Radio. What is going on with Lamar Jackson and this soreness thing? As Amber pointed out earlier, from a game that was last Thursday.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I was at their training camp, end of July, and it was like I was there for 2 days. He didn't practice because he was sick. Like, this kind of stuff happens. Like Lamar sometimes, like, he's just not feeling right. He doesn't practice. Like, we've seen this over the years. Yesterday was an extra practice for the Ravens. They had a Thursday night opener. You know, they all got together for a practice Monday because they had the weekend off by rule. So tomorrow's the day, right? Tomorrow's their first, like, day of their practice week for week two. So if he's not out there tomorrow, then I think the eyebrows go up. But everything I've been told from there over the last couple of days is, nah, he's just feeling a little banged up. So, you know, he took a day, no big deal. He was there, like, they had team pictures, and he was there posing for pictures. But he did not actually practice with the rest of the team, and the extent to which that was a real practice is probably debatable. So right now, no alarm bells on Lamar. But as we all learned last night on the Monday Night Countdown show, you can never be 100% sure that the team is leading you the right way on these injuries.
He's in his mid-20s. Like, get in an ice bath, Lamar. What are we doing? You're not supposed to be this sore yet. You can't shake it off in a week. Not supposed to happen. Dan Graziano joining us here on Amber and Ian. Let's get into the latest with Deshaun Watson. We, of course, know about the latest civil suit and allegations against him. As I'm reading the language, Graz, in Deshaun Watson's contract that's being reported out there anyways, It looks like to me that this all hinges on whether the Browns would have known, if they had previous knowledge, that these allegations could have come to fruition. Do we have any answer on that and how that could ultimately affect the Browns' ability to get out of the guaranteed money?
So we're clear, like that's not exactly the issue, right? So here's the deal with, and I've read Deshaun Watson's original contract with the Browns, and also the update they did last year and the update they did 2 weeks ago. I've gone through it. I'm not a contract attorney, but I've seen enough of these NFL deals to know what's going on. In the 2022 deal, okay, there's standard default language in any NFL contract that says the guarantees can be voided if, and then there's like a huge paragraph, like if he hurts himself skydiving, right? But one of the things that's always in there is if suspended under the personal conduct policy. In the 2022 deal, there was additional language in that default section that said, except if it's related to conduct previously disclosed in writing to the team. Now, there was apparently a writer or a side letter to the contract that from Watson to the Browns that talked about the allegations that were pending against him at the time, right? When he got traded to the Browns and signed his contract, everybody knew he was probably going to get suspended because there were all these charges pending against him. So if there was any suspension that resulted from those charges, which there turned out to be an 11-game one, then he could not have his guarantees voided as a result of that. The interesting thing is that section says, if he's rendered unavailable to play in the 2022 or 2023 season. So why that's interesting is those seasons are over. And if he is suspended for portion of the 2024 season, then it seems, based on any reasonable reading of the contract, the Browns could void the remaining guarantees, which at this point is $46 million in 2025, $46 million in 2026. So they could turn that into non-guaranteed money. They could cut him and not have to pay it. They'd have a big dead money hit, but they wouldn't have to pay him in cash and they'd be out of it. And that all assumes that they want to get out of it. It all assumes we're reading the contract the right way. But it does sound like this latest situation is one that could prove extremely costly for Deshaun Watson.
Well, and it all assumes that he won't sue the hell out of them if they try to do just that, which either way, there will be lawyers. There always is.
Yeah, there'd be a grievance, absolutely. Yes. But, you know, I don't know.
It's interesting,
don't think you'd have much of a case.
It's really interesting because also the allegations are from 2020, as I understand it. So it's interesting unpacking it all and how it might affect their ability to do that. Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL Insider. Thanks, Graz. We appreciate it, as always.
Always my pleasure. Thank you.
You can always hit us up on the Dr. Pepper call-in line, 888-SAY-ESPN. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, we're going to unpack this Deshaun Watson situation a bit further. Also, talk about the disaster, frankly, that was the Cleveland Browns in week one. That's next right here on ESPN Radio.
BetMGM presents Upping the Action with Jamie Foxx.
Yo, hockey's here, and it's colder than ice, like cold, cold. But with BetMGM, I can heat the game up with overs, unders, parlays, and money lines. All from the comfort of my 102-degree hot tub. Now I'm really putting fire on the ice. This hockey season, download the BetMGM app.
And get up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. U.S. promotional offers not available in Nevada, New York, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. for New York. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY. Or text HOPE-NY 467-369. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. Puerto Rico, call 1-800-981-0023. West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
In college football, a solid defensive line protects the end zone. And when it comes to fire safety, quality smoke alarms can help you protect your home. That's where Kidde comes in. Their alarms detect smoke over 25% faster, so you can react when seconds count. Plus, they're quick and easy to install, so you can help protect your home turf and get back to watching your team. Defend your game time with Kidde and the Home Depot. How doers get more done. 29% faster average smoke detection based on internal testing of smoldering wood fires for Kidde 9th edition versus leading competitor 8th edition products.
I would be thinking long and hard about Jameis Winston in a very short period of time if I was the Cleveland Browns.
Deshaun Watson is so far from average, it is mind-boggling. And the thing that drove me nuts the most, it's actually the mental. Guys, he's awful.
He was overwhelmed with it all, it looked to me. The game was almost too fast for him.
Right now, Baker Mayfield is just decidedly a better player than Deshaun Watson. And I can't think of anything worse if you were a Cleveland Browns fan.
One really shouldn't have anything to do with the other at this point, but it's so true what Greeny said. I mean, one of the funnier components of the Deshaun Watson situation in Cleveland, Ian, is that Baker Mayfield in 2024 ends up being so much better than Deshaun Watson at playing quarterback. I mean, it's not even close. Can you imagine us having that conversation in 2019? It's truly mind-boggling what happened there, but that's adding insult to injury for Browns fans. They don't need to hear that.
Think about this. Baker Mayfield went like 24 of 31 for close to 300. Four touchdowns,
phenomenal.
No picks. He was outstanding yet again. Led him to the playoffs last year, won a playoff game. And I know the Browns went, you know, to the playoffs and then ran into the Texans, and
well, that wasn't thanks to Deshaun Watson.
No, that was all about that defense and Joe Flacco bus driving a football team, managing it, not turning it over until they met the Houston Texans. Right now, Baker Mayfield is playing outstanding football. And you could have had him. You did have him. You ruined him for a couple of years. And then he goes out to L.A., starts having fun playing again. Tampa takes a shot on him. And now he's playing exceptional ball, and you're stuck with a $230 million guaranteed take-home money, waste of cash contract and a quarterback.
Well, are you? And that's the question.
That's where we go to your big legal mind.
That is the question now. And you just heard Dan Graziano break it down a bit as well when he was on with us a little earlier. If you missed anything here on Amber and Ian, you can check out the podcast on the ESPN app. You can find him at Ian Fitz ESPN on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. You can find me as well at Amber W Sports. Amber and Ian is presented by Progressive Insurance. So we know about the latest allegations against Deshaun Watson. There is a new civil suit that has been filed against Deshaun Watson from Jane Doe, from a woman who is alleging a bunch of heinous stuff. These allegations rise to the level of rape and sexual assault. And what is, the obvious component of talking about this from the female perspective, and frankly, we've known now for 3 years about allegations against Deshaun Watson from over 24 women who also filed other civil suits against Deshaun Watson. And allegedly, this dude, at the very least, appears to be creepy as hell, right? Allegedly. And we already knew that about Deshaun Watson. So although these are particularly heinous allegations, I'm not sure that I learned anything new from that perspective. What I do think is a bit interesting here, though, is that we keep talking about the Browns being in this situation with the guaranteed contract because they handed him all this guaranteed money. Well, money ain't always guaranteed when it comes to violations of your contract based on these sorts of things. And is there a world in which the Browns end up getting out of that guaranteed money because of these latest allegations against Deshaun Watson? And the answer to that seems to be maybe. Now, Graziano's seen the actual contracts that Deshaun Watson has signed, because he signed several now with the Cleveland Browns, because they also have restructured that deal as recently as a couple months ago. They restructured that deal. So he has apparently seen all the language stemming back to 22 and 23, and then the latest restructure here in 2024. I don't have any of that. All I have is a language that's in front of me that Pro Football Focus put out there, or Pro Football Talk, rather. They've done a good job at putting some of the contractual language out there. So I don't know what deal this one's from, frankly, but what I have in front of me, and Graz said that that's not the whole story. What I have in front of me basically says that the player, meaning Deshaun Watson, is representing and warranting that he has disclosed in writing as of the date of signing of that particular contract that this language comes from, that there is no incidence that he has not engaged in any conduct that could lead to some sort of offense or indictment or conviction, or could lead to the player not being available to play for the club. And so with the language I have in front of me, it looks like if he was to get suspended from this, that there's some real ramifications from this, that that would in fact be a violation of the main terms here of his contract, and the Browns would then be able to get out of the guaranteed money for 2025 and 2026, which is $46 million each of those seasons. And so that certainly is incredibly significant. Now, Graz said that it's not all hinging on whether he had necessarily disclosed it. It looks like it is with this language in front of me. But again, I don't have all the language, so it's a little hard for me to unpack. Nevertheless, Ian, there is this world that we live in where maybe that ends up being the result here, that the Browns actually could end up walking away from this thing.
And look, even if they can't, from a legal standpoint, or for whatever reason, it might be time to bench him anyway.
Well, and then that's the other side of this conversation. Because regardless of these allegations, these latest allegations, this latest civil suit against Deshaun Watson, a lot of people were already calling for Deshaun Watson to lose his job just from a pure football perspective on that field. Now, that's, of course, complicated by the contract. But you do have Jameis Winston there, as you heard on the intro, as the backup quarterback. I'm not sure that I think Jameis Winston, frankly, is a significant upgrade over Deshaun Watson from a true quarterback perspective. But Jeff Saturday, ESPN's NFL analyst, was on Carlin versus Joe, and he said that the Browns have a real quarterback from a football perspective decision to make here.
After what Flacco did last year coming off the street, and the way that Deshaun looked, I mean, you might be ready to put that Winston experiment to use. I mean, here's the thing. It's not one game. He literally hasn't played well since he's gotten there. I mean, he had one good game, or I guess good half, against Baltimore, but he looked overwhelmed. I mean, he made a bunch of errant throws. At some point, you got to step up for your squad as a player who's being paid that way. If you're Stefanski sitting in that room, you got some serious questions to answer if he comes out and lays another egg.
Here's my question, Ian, because, and this is, you know, again, like we're just focusing on the football component of this, which is obviously hard to do in the face of these allegations, but focusing on the football component of this, is Stefanski doing Watson any favors here? Because we did see Stefanski be able to plug and play these other quarterbacks that seem to be able to manage his system better. And all I keep hearing from these NFL experts is that Deshaun Watson's not a good fit for Stefanski's system, and that he's not doing the things to help Deshaun Watson out from that perspective. And I just wonder if there's such a disconnect between head coach and quarterback in terms of his abilities.
Heck, I just wonder if that shoulder's right also that he hurt last year. Remember, they had to sit him in practice a couple weeks ago. He was supposed to play in preseason game number 3, I think. And they said, you know what, he's got a little fatigue. We're gonna sit him. Bottom line is, and Saturday's right, he hasn't been good since he got there.
Right.
And Jameis Winston, he really hasn't played a significant amount of ball, probably since 2021 when he had 1,000 yards, I think 14 touchdowns, 3 INTs. Completion percentage was not good at all, but he wasn't turning the ball over like he did in Tampa nearly as much in the last time he played significant football. But again, that was a long time ago. That was 2021.
Long time ago.
So you're fast forwarding now 3 more years. He's, what, 30, 31? But it can't be any worse. That's my – that's DeSean has been horrendous. If it's worse, then you made a mistake in bringing Jameis Winston in as your backup quarterback when other guys were out, were options for you as well. I'd make the switch. I'd give DeSean one more week, and if he stinks it up again, I'm pulling the trigger.
DeSean threw two interceptions in that game against the Cowboys. I guess Jameis could throw four. I guess that would be worse. Jameis is 30 years old. I mean, not to make light of the situation for Cleveland, but it's an ugly one. I just have a hard time from a football perspective, frankly, thinking Jameis is going to be the answer there either. Coming up next, Justin Fields or Russell Wilson? That is the question once again.